Judges chapter 14, starting at verse 12. Before I read it, I just want to say a couple things. Samson had wanted to marry one of the Philistine ladies, but he didn't want to really foot the expense of the wedding. So in going down there, he came across a lion and had a fight with the lion. And of course, the lion lost. And he put forth this riddle in Judges chapter 14, verse 12. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. But if he cannot declare it me, then he shall give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. We're going to pray, ask God to give me utterance so that I might be able to give you the message that God has given me. And the title of this is The Secret of the Sweetener. The Secret of the Sweetener. So if you could pray with me, Father, we just thank you right now, Jesus. Lord, that you will fill this atmosphere with your presence and anointing in a continuous way, that it will reach hearts, that it will reach those listening at home, that it will touch, that it will edify, hallelujah, that your word will go forth unhindered, that it will bless, hallelujah, that it will find good soil. We thank you, hallelujah, for your goodness and your grace, your love and your care, in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering. Turn to your neighbor and say, the secret of the sweetener. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. Yes, that title is a bit of a mystery. The secret of the sweetener. Now, they say that there are five basic tastes that us human beings have. You know, sweet, sour, salty, bitter. And then there's one that they found out that's a Japanese one. It sounds like your mama, but it's really... It's spelled U-M-A-M-I, umami. And it really is that taste that you get in some Chinese food, monosodium glutamate. But they say there are five basic tastes that us human beings can distinguish. You know, sweet, sour, salty, bitter. And you've probably seen those videos where they give a little baby some lemon for the first time. And their face just kind of puckers up and they want it, but then the taste, it hits them in such a way that, you know, their face starts to pucker up. And we all find it so funny when people for the first time, little babies get to taste sour and bitter things for the first time. They look at it and they want it so badly and you're trying to stop them and tell them, no, this is not. And then they get it and then their taste and their face just starts to wrinkle up. But you see, there is something that about taste that is so remarkable. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, I'm going to focus on just really two of those tastes today, bitter and sweet. You know, and bitterness seems to be a common thing nowadays. You know, there's a lot of bitter people. Bitter people. And the Bible speaks about that we shouldn't let bitterness take a root in us. Because if we do, then the Bible says that can choke us. The Bible speaks about a root of bitterness. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. See, it does not just affect you when you get bitter. Do you see what it says? Many be defiled. That's something that bitterness in you can have this effect on others. You know, a bitter, hurt person tends to spread the hurt to others. They tend to snap and strike out at everyone around them. Maybe not meaning to, but they have nurtured that taste. They have nurtured that feeling and let it grow. And the Bible says that many be defiled. In fact, bitterness can be a soul killer. Bitterness is poison to the soul. In studying for this message today, I was reading lots of little scientific things about taste, and they said the taste is there to tell us certain things. Bitter things are usually not good for you. They were there originally to be able to, for you to detect something poisonous and to be able to warn the body, no, this is not for you. So when we take in certain type of tastes and dwell on them, it can kill your soul. The Bible says that looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Do you see what it says here? Lest any man fail of the grace of God. How can we fail of the grace of God? Through allowing bitterness to come into our lives. Sometimes it's because of something that people have done to us. You know, it's not that we didn't get hurt. We did get hurt. It's real. But still, we can't let that take root in our hearts. We can't let that foster in our spirit. Because if we do, the Bible says that we may fail of the grace of God. That would be a terrible thing, to fail of the grace of God. The Bible says, don't let that root of bitterness springing up trouble you. And thereby, it defiles everybody around you. I like being around happy people. Joyful people. When someone is bitter, the Bible says it defiles many people around them. So how does bitterness start? The Bible says looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. You see, we can be watering and nurturing the hurts that come into our lives. There will be hurts. There will be people that offend us. There will be things that happen. But sometimes it's not any person. Sometimes it's just our own condition. When we look at other people and we get bitter because of what they have achieved, what success they have, and we just get bitter and start to talk to God and say, how come they're doing like that? Why not me? You see, Jesus gave an example of how this can happen. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 23, he said, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now the servant knew full well he couldn't pay it off. But you know what he said? Let me do it over payments. Now, even if he had paid his whole lifetime, he could not have paid it off. But look what the king did. You know what the king did? He gave him grace. Now, he did not deserve this. He genuinely owed the money. But what the king did? But for as much as he did not pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children, all that he had, that payment should be made. The servant, therefore, fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me. And I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the whole debt. What he owed was forgiven. He got mercy. He got grace. And the thing with us is we don't understand that most of the time we have been forgiven more than what we have been hurt. It's real quiet in here, but let me say it again. You have been forgiven a lot more than you have been hurt. You have been delivered a lot more than you deserved. You have been given grace so much multiplied, more than any of us could even hope for. We're just like this servant who we could not pay if we had lived a lifetime. But God in his mercy sought fit to give us grace. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the entire debt. Now I'm talking about how we can fall from grace. The Bible says that if we nurture that root of bitterness, we can eventually fall from grace. We can fail the grace that God has given us. Now let's look at this story, because here is this man who owed 10,000 talents and was given multiplied grace. Then what does he do? Because he had a heart of bitterness against his fellow servant, he went out and demanded that he pay him everything he had he was owed. Matthew 18:28. And that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. 1,000 times less than what he owed. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me that thou owest." Inside of this servant must have been a root of bitterness, because you can't have just been forgiven 10,000 and go to someone else and be shaking them down. You see what I'm saying? The root of bitterness will defile all that's around you. "Pay me that thou owest." And his fellow servant fell upon at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." But he would not. He would not. But went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Verse 32, "Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" Now verse 34 is the example of where you can fall from grace. All he had to do was say to his fellow servant, "You know, God bless you. I've been forgiven much. I'm going to forgive you." But because he had this root of bitterness, he lost out the grace that he had been given. Look at this. "And the Lord was wroth and angry with him, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him." He fell short of the grace that was initially given to him and lost it because of a bitter spirit. You see, when we are hurt, what we need to remember is that Jesus has forgiven us so much. We owed what we could not pay. We hurt God so much more than anyone has ever hurt us. Even when we get up every day in lacking belief, in lacking of trust, we are hurting God. But he is so merciful, so gracious. He has given us the scepter. He has given us grace. You know what we ought to do in turn? We need to give grace. The scripture that my wife read, or I think somebody read this morning, about the comfort. When we have been comforted, what are we to do? We're to comfort others. When God has forgiven me, I need to go and forgive you. Otherwise, I risk this root of bitterness making me fall from grace. You see, it's one of the tastes. The Bible says, "Taste and see that the Lord, he is good." But some things, when we taste it, you know what we're supposed to do with it? Spit it out. Spit it out. We don't have to chew down and get our face all puckered up. We don't have to try and swallow that bitter thing. We need to spit it out. See, when you get God's goodness and his grace, it's going to put a smile on your face. When Satan brings this bitter stuff, you're going to be just like a little baby. And you're still trying to eat it down, and your face just getting so messed up and squashed up and so bitter. See, God gave you that taste so you can spit it out. You don't have to chew down on things that make you bitter, the things that cause you hurt, because we have been forgiven. We have been given grace. We have been given mercy. We have been given love. See, this man fell short of the grace that was initial. This is how you can lose God's grace. In fact, in the Lord's Prayer, he said, "Forgive us as we forgive them that what?" And he went on to say, if you will not, then you won't. You won't be forgiven. Yes, people have wronged us. Yes, people have cheated us. Yes, people have done some terrible things to us. And sometimes nobody has done anything to us. We're just letting our flesh get the better of us. We're looking at our fellow neighbor and saying, why is he doing so well? And we let that bitter, jealous spirit get in our soul. See, what we need to do is spit it out. You see, we have been forgiven so much. See, we don't need to keep the bitter and sour. I spit it out. I don't like bitter and sour. I spit it out. I'm not going to let my spirit get all puckered up like that little child. I'm going to spit it out. Bitterness is a soul killer, and it is rooted in resentment. You know when someone's mad with you, it comes out. It just comes out. They can't help it. It's like the little child. Their face is all scratched. They're trying to be nice to you, but you know there's something wrong. You know there's something that they think you've done them. Psalms 109 verse 3 says this: "They compassed me about almost also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. You see, sometimes people can come against you and you don't even know what you've done them. David didn't know when he wrote this psalm. Saul came against him for no reason other than he was blessed of God, other than that he was now the chosen and anointed. Sometimes the devil will hate you just because God's giving you favor. God's giving you blessing. But you don't have to take the devil's lemonade. I'm going to spit it out. Amen. They compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. You see, sometimes we get bitter because the expectations of life haven't worked out the way we had hoped. We look at others and start to be resentful of their blessing. But you know, I've tried never to have that attitude. What's for me, God will give me. I can't carry what's for you. And then we let Satan feed that resentment until we get all bittered up in our spirit. Just like the little child, if we could look at some people's soul, it would be all puckered up. Because they're trying to eat that lemonade. They're trying to take it down, and it just comes out. You see, Job had a reason to be bitter. He couldn't think of a reason for all the things that were happening. In Job chapter 9, verse 17, he says, "For he breaketh me with a tempest and multiplieth my wounds without cause." Sometimes it seems that Satan is just after you and you can't even put your finger on it. But don't let it get into your soul. Spit it out. The moment you taste that, go, psst, out it goes. Get something nice and sweet after that. Go open the fridge, get some of my wife's Kool-Aid or something like that. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. You need to taste the Lord to spit out that stuff that Satan's trying to poison your soul with. See, Job at times felt like, you know, he could get bitter because everything he had done his very best. It's when you've done your best sometimes and things are still going wrong, there's a temptation. Why don't you just curse God and die? They don't even care about you at that church. Pastor hasn't called you in 2 months. I mean, if he was a good pastor, he would be calling me. Let me say, listen, there are going to be things you put in your mouth that taste sour and bitter, but you're under no obligation to keep eating it. You got to spit it out. Shall I tell you the cure for the bitterness? Shall I tell you the cure that God has got? Remember this, the title of this message is The Secret of the Sweetener. See, we don't need to let that bitterness, that root of bitterness get hold of us. Whether it's real or whether it's just imagined. Whether it's just our expectation of life that didn't turn out the way we wanted. You know, we're all going to be millionaires by the time we were 30 and have the dream, the two-car garage and everything. Maybe it didn't turn out that way. But you don't have to be bitter because Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." If I never got a mansion down here, I've got a great one coming. I've had some nice cars. I've had some junkers. I've had some cars that caught on fire while I was going down the freeway. But you know what? You know what my heavenly vehicle is going to be? It's going to be the angels. GM doesn't make that model. Tesla doesn't make that model. He said he shall send his angels. Amen. He's going to gather his elect from the fork. You know my next heavenly transportation is going to be? It's an angel. He's coming for me. Amen. You may not have had the Mercedes, the BMW, or whatever. But you got something that no earthly manufacturer can make. See, you have to replace the bitter with the sweet. In Exodus chapter 15, 23, we see Israel coming into the desert. And they're thirsty. And they come across some water. But you know what? It's bitter. It's so bitter that they can't drink it. And they start to get mad and start to get on Moses. Like, you brought us out here to die. Lord, you told me to come here and look at how everything's falling apart. Nothing is going right. Lord, you brought me out here to die. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the water of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it is called Marah. That's where we get the name Mary from. But there's a good ending to that story, Sister Mary. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Think about this. They're in the desert. There is no water, but the Lord shows him a tree. Now, normally in the desert, there is no tree. But the Lord showed him a tree, and this wasn't just any tree. This is the secret of the sweetener. You see, when you're in bitterness, when the devil has brought all kinds of hurt into your life, you need to find the secret of the sweetener. You don't need to eat up all that stuff. You need to find something that is going to make your mouth sweet in the Lord. And Moses, he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. And he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. God will take you on a desert journey. God will take you to some bitter waters. But you look for the tree, and that tree is the branch. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. Here is the secret of the sweetener. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Instead of the root of bitterness, you need that branch of Jesus Christ growing up in your life. You need to throw that branch of sweetness into your bitter circumstance, into things that are going wrong, into the sickness that you're dealing with. You need to have the branch thrown into your waters, because that is the secret of the sweetener. You see, God didn't say you're not going to come across some bitter waters. If you're human and you're alive, you're going to find some trouble. Trouble is going to find you. There's going to be times when people do things to you. There's going to be times when you find disaster, you find catastrophe, you have accidents, you get sick. And we can, like the children of Israel, start to get mad at God, get mad at our fellow neighbors. We can start to let that root start to take hold. But instead, you need to get the secret of the sweetener, which is the branch that shall grow out of Jesse, to grow out of his roots. We need to replace that root of bitterness with the branch. So Moses threw that in the water, and it became sweet. You see, it's when we have Jesus as the branch, that's the secret of the sweetener, because he can change the bitterness in our life to something sweet. Now, I want to point out something. If you were to do a word search on the word sweet, you'd be surprised where it shows up. But it shows up every time there's a sacrifice. Go and look in the Old Testament. You know why? There was a sacrifice, but it had to be made sweet. So they took incense, sweet incense, poured it on the sacrifice. I don't think that's an accident. You may be going through some sacrificial times, and by itself, unless you get the incense and pour it on it, it's going to remain bitter. But this is the secret of the sweetener. You need the Jesus in you. You need that branch in you to take root. Not the root of bitterness, not the root of circumstance, not the root of sickness, not the root of disaster. Let me show you something that happened in the Old Testament. See, after the flood, Noah did get out with his direct family, you know, his three sons. But don't tell me that was all his family. No. I'm sure there was a lot of in-laws and cousins, nephews and nieces that didn't make it. And Noah could have come out and thought about all that he had lost. Because all he had now was this boat and all these animals. That's all he had. He may have had a farm and livestock and all kinds of life before the flood. And he could have come out of that and saying, well, yeah, I made it, but it's just me. You know, a lot of time God delivers us and we're so ungrateful. Children of Israel got out of slavery and Egypt. They come into the desert and they start becoming ungrateful. They start becoming bitter. Noah could have been bitter, but I want to show you something in Scripture here about the sacrifice and the sweetness. In Genesis 8:21, we find that Noah made a sacrifice. And he puts, the Bible doesn't say it, but he put some stuff on that sacrifice. He put some sweetness on that sacrifice, because it says, and the Lord smelled a savor. The secret of the sweetener is when you're going through your sacrifice, You need to put some prayer, some incense, some praise, some worship. That is the secret of the sweetener. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil. You know what God did that very day? He made a covenant with Noah. Every time you look in scripture, for the most part, you'll find that the sweet is there with the sacrifice. Because that is the secret of getting through your sacrificial time. You're going to have to put some prayer, some incense, some time with God to make it sweet. You're going to have that Jesus root grow up in you to take away that bitter life experience that you have gone through. Now, I know it's getting quiet, but it is the secret of the sweetener. You see, in Exodus chapter 40, verse 27, outside the tabernacle on the brazen altar was where they did the sacrifice. Inside was where they did the sweet incense. Outside, you're going to get all the trouble and the trials and the sacrifice. But inside, you better have the sweet incense. You better start burning your prayers to God, because that is the secret of the sweetener. Inside on the altar of incense is only where they made a precious ointment. Only the priest could do it. Only the priest could use it. It's specified in the Bible down to how you make it and everything. And they were to take that ointment every day. After they did the sacrifice, they were to go inside and put that on the altar of incense. This is the secret of the sweetener. Yes, outside we're going to go through some sacrifice. We're going to have some tribulation. But you better have some time inside with your prayer life, with your altar of incense, with the sweetener. Because that is how you're going to do it. Because God did not look at Noah's sacrifice till he smelled. Till he smelled. Till he smelled the sweet savor. When our prayer is mixed with sweetness, when our prayer is mixed with praise to God, when our prayer is mixed with thanksgiving, that is the secret of the sweetener. It's amazing how the Bible has these themes, but you will find, you do a run on the Old Testament with sweet, and it's always in reference to incense. Exodus 40, 27. This is God's command to Moses. And he burnt sweet incense thereon, as the Lord commanded Moses. Psalms 104, 34. If you could stand with me, I'm not going to be long. My meditation of him shall be sweet, and I will be glad in the Lord. Yes, we're going to taste bitter a lot of times. Yes, there's going to be sour come into our life. But don't let it crinkle up your soul. Don't let it be a root of bitterness that takes root and corrupts and kills your soul. Psalms 104:34, my meditation of him shall be sweet. When we start to think about what God has done for us, when we think about the promises that are yet to be fulfilled, there's no way I'm going to let the bitter stay in my mouth. I'm going to start to praise him and let my incense of sweet prayer arise up into his throne room. 2 Corinthians 2:15 says, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. Do you know how they got the sweetness? They poured it on the altar of incense. That means there was a fire. There was something burning. There was some heat there, because that's how you get the incense. I noticed outside my bedroom, every time I go down the stairs, I would smell this smell. And for a few days now, I've been trying to figure out where it's coming from, this sweet smell. And I looked in another bedroom and I saw some candles, but they're not lit. And it wasn't strong anywhere else except by the stairs. And it was puzzling me for a few days. Every time I go down the stairs, I smell this sweet smell. And I couldn't figure out what it was. But I think last night, I went around the corner of the stairs and I saw what my wife had done. She had plugged in one of those things. And you know what was doing? It was heating up the incense. You know what God is doing in your life? He wants that sweet savor. So he's heating up the incense. So instead of getting bitter, you become an incense. This is what it says, For we are unto God a sweet savor. Are you a sweet savor? Because the only way that's going to happen is you're on some fire somewhere. The heat of the oil is making the incense rise up. This is the secret of the sweetener. In Philippians, this is my last scripture. I know they say I only preach when you stand, but I'm not. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Aphrodite the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. I hope you've gotten a few points today. The sweetness comes from sacrifice. And that is the cure for any bitterness. Don't let it take root. We all have cause. We all have reasons. But remember the secret of the sweetener. It's Jesus Christ, the root and the stem of Jesse. Replace that root of bitterness. Throw that into your bitter water. Now, the good story with Mary was, although everyone around her probably thought, how do you get pregnant and you're not married? But what they didn't understand, that she got the ultimate branch placed in her soul, placed in her physical body. The angel said, listen, the power of the Almighty is going to overshadow you. And the thing that is going to be conceived of you is of the highest. See, it may have looked to others around her that she should be bitter because her whole plan of marrying Joseph and everything looked like it had gone wrong. But instead, God had used her body as a sacrifice, had chosen her to be the ultimate vessel. Who to tell if God is choosing what you're going through as a means that your praise, your worship, even in the fire, will just be like this, as Paul said to the Corinthians, unto God a sweet savor of Christ. I'm closing this service, but don't let a root of bitterness crinkle up your soul. Find the secret of the sweetener is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. These altars are open. We're going to pray. We're going to meditate. Don't let a root of bitterness. But even in your struggle, even in your pain, even in the things you're going through, find the secret of the sweetener. Sometimes my wife hides the sugar from me because it's not good for me. But this sugar is going to be great for you. This one won't kill you. This one will save your life. This one will deliver you. This one will bless you. This one will heal you. This one will take away the hurt. Outside was the place of sacrifice, but inside was the place of sweetness. I can imagine that when the priest went in, there was a different atmosphere, because on the altar of incense was this frankincense and this spices and this sweet savor that continually went up before God. If we make our life a sweet savor to God, He has promised, like He did with Noah, I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm going to place a bow in the sky. I'm going to make a covenant with you because your offering has become a sweet savor. It wasn't all great just because they had made it. I'm sure Noah lost family members. Yes, he saved his immediate family, but I'm sure there were others that he lost. He could have been bitter, but instead, he made an altar and sacrifice, and it came up before God as a sweet savor. No one knew the secret of the sweetener. Hallelujah. We're going to close this service as we pray. I'm going to pray for those who have come forward. Let's meditate. Let's take Psalm 104:34. Instead of complaining to God all the time, David said, my meditation of him, when I think of him, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. That should be our prayer this week. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I don't have time to be thinking about people who hurt me. I don't want to fail of the grace of God. I don't want it retracted because I won't forgive someone else. But my meditation of him is going to be sweet. I'm going to thank him for all the times he saved my life. I'm going to thank him for the times when I went through some fire, but he still delivered me. I'm going to thank him the times when I messed up, but he had mercy and forgave me. I'm going to thank him for the times when I was struggling financially and he delivered. I'm going to just thank him. My meditation of him shall be sweet. Hallelujah. Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we ask, oh God, that you give us the secret of the sweetener. Lord, that you be a sweet savor in our life. That you be the branch and root, oh God, that will replace anything else that will take your place. Lord, we ask for your anointing that will break every yoke. Let everyone under the sound of my voice today, Lord God, feel a freedom of worship and of praise, Lord God. That your sweetness will come into their soul. That it will touch every heart, Lord God. Take away bitterness. Heal, oh God, every hurt, Lord Jesus. We ask it right now, Lord. In your name, we give you the praise and the glory.